Welcome to South Shore Scoop. I'm here on the campus of South Shore Conservatory, the largest community school for the arts in Massachusetts and among the top 20 in the United States. Today we're meeting with Debbie Allenson, Trustee Emerita and Interim President, as well as with Campus Director Eileen Puzo. I am here at the South Shore Conservatory and I'm meeting with Trustee Emerita and Interim President Debbie Allenson and Director of the Hingham Campus, Elaine Puzo. How are you today?
Excellent. How are you, Joe?
Great. Great to be here.
Thank you. It's really wonderful to have you.
Now, let's start with the most important question, which is, how's the staff doing in this pandemic?
You know, I think they're doing remarkably well. They have had to deal with so much, like all educators. They've had to learn how to teach in a totally different environment. They've lost that personal connection to many of their students. And yet they're here with enthusiasm every day, doing their absolute best. And our early childhood program is in full swing in person. And some of our musicians are here. I don't want to try to repeat all the rules and regulations, but some instruments are not COVID safe, shall we say. And one of our most important instruments is the human voice. The school has a big vocal program, so that's, you know, kind of in a very minimal state today.
Is it both voice and wind instruments as well, perhaps?
Yes,
and brass.
Eileen
brass.
Could fill us in more specifically because she's really on top of all of that. But I think you'd find happy people here, you know, if you wandered around the hallways, poked in and spoke to the drum teacher, we can hear the drums going in the background, you would get a big smile and some good news.
Now, Eileen, you are the campus director and you've just had open enrollment recently. How's that going so far?
That's going well. We had, in response to the spring when we had to shut down and pivot to online only lessons, we've been able to look at the various guidelines of the state and see in response to what parents wanted, what students wanted, what faculty wanted, how are we able to bring people back into the building in a safe way for those who want it, and also be able to keep an online learning environment for those who want that. So we introduced a high flex model, high for hybrid, flex for flexible. And we have some teachers who are in every day with their full studio. We have all of our cleaning regulations set up. All of the faculty are aware of what those are and are responsible for them. And then we are looking into how we can improve our digital assets and technology available to us to better serve those who want to be online only.
Tell us more about some of the challenges of remote learning or distance learning, if you will, vis-a-vis music instruction.
I think one of the most challenging pieces that we've come across is when someone's in an ensemble. So for instance, we have a very strong rock band program. And for a while, we were able to find creative ways on Zoom to continue these lessons, have the bands participating together, maybe working on some composition elements, some recording. They got really creative. But then you hit a point where there comes to be Zoom fatigue, which is something that we were encountering. So I think especially for people who are in ensembles, that's the most difficult piece. I am not a teacher myself, but as I understand it, the lag between the student and the teacher, even on a one-on-one lesson, can sometimes just be frustrating for both parties. I think there is something about being in person. There's an intangible benefit. You have that instant connection. You're physically in the same space. You might be picking up on each other's energies more easily. And when you are not together, you lose that connection. People have done their very best to maintain it, but there is something about being in person.
Debbie, let's talk about some of the challenges you faced coming back in as interim president. Let's first start with your background, because obviously you had to put some time in here to be given the title of Trustee Emerita.
I have put some time in on here. I know you can count it in decades, and I don't know whether it's 3 decades, but it's close to 3 decades. And I have very deep roots here. I originally came to go to an Evenings Under the Stars concert, and I don't know if you've ever been to one, and if you okay, you're saying yes, so you know what a treat this
is. Beautiful, yes.
Out here on our beautiful campus, under the stars, on a summer night, a live concert that rivals going to Tanglewood, but it's right here in our own neighborhood. So I've been a huge fan of that program for years and years. I'm not sure really what came next, but I have children. I have 4 children. They're all grown now, and they have grandchildren who study music. But so some of my children took lessons here under wonderful teachers who aren't here today, but I feel very confident if I brought my grandchildren for their lessons here, which I can't do, unfortunately, there would be wonderful teachers for them too. So that we have this fabulous faculty with great pedagogy and enthusiasm for what they're doing. So then I was a parent, right, with children learning at the school. At that time in my life, I was working in my career. My career was in finance. I was going into Boston every day, and a gentleman who was the chair of the board at that time was a friend of mine, a close business associate and friend, and one day he said to me, come on, I want you to come out and have lunch with me. I want you to meet somebody. You know, you're gonna like this guy. Well, I had lunch with Jim Simpson. Jim Simpson was the original founder of the conservatory. And the conservatory was getting ready to build this wonderful facility. So they were out there looking for people who would write a few checks and, you know, help out. So I got hooked. They asked me, would I consider giving a piano, a Steinway piano, to the school? Frankly, it was not anything I had ever thought about doing. It was a huge stretch gift for me to do at the time. The mom of 4 kids, so I'll head it off to college, whatever. But I had studied piano for 12 years. Music is in my family. My grandpa was a composer and a band leader. And so, you know, they found a little way into my heart. And then I opened up my pocketbook. So, you know, you kind of have kids here. You come to the events. You've been willing to give a little money. Maybe not too surprising that I was recruited to join the board. So I came on the board probably around 2000, I don't know exactly when, a good while ago, shall we say. And I served on the board for a decade, maybe a little bit more than a decade. I actually chaired the board through the great financial crisis. So I'm good on sort of business things and finance things, as well as loving what this place does. So I went off the board maybe 4 or 5 years ago, because I believe in rotation. I think boards need fresh perspective and interests continually, and so I believe that. So I said bye. You know, I'm not going to serve on the board anymore. And I've stayed involved. I've been over for concerts. I do events and all that sort of. So I didn't lose touch, but I reduced how much time I was doing here. So then when the conservatory had this, you know, unfortunate episode this summer of a new person coming in that didn't quite work out, somebody thought of me and called me up and said, you know, what do you think? Would you be willing to step in? And I needed to think about it a little bit, but not too long. I think maybe 2 days. I called up some of my friends who are still on the board. And I think I talked to Eileen. I'm not really sure. People that I know. And I ended up saying to myself, absolutely, I can do this. You know, I care so much about this place. If I can help out through a little interim period, I'm happy to do it. So here I am 3 or 4 weeks later, loving it, working really hard. And I don't know what else to say to you other than that's my little conservatory history.
Debbie, in this role as interim president, what were some of the challenges that you now find yourself facing here for the conservatory?
Well, I think because of the COVID environment, our finances are very pressured. You know, we We cut tuitions because we wanted to help our families, and that's a pressure in itself. We've lost some students who have decided learning online isn't satisfactory to them. So there are financial pressures on the organization. And I'm working on that. I see that as a temporary problem. It's something we're gonna work through over the next few months. You know, you tell me how long COVID will last, I'll tell you how long we'll have that particular set of pressures. But I'm pretty optimistic that by next summer, we'll be back in full swing.
Now, you have not only the main campus here in Hingham, but you also have a satellite campus in Duxbury.
Yes, we do.
And how's that campus doing right now?
Actually, it's really fun to go there. I suggest you go and film because there's a very active dance program. Little children doing dance. A big hall like this, if you came into it, you would find all these masking taped squares. So a child gets to sit in the middle of a square, puts their mask on, but then gets hip hop or ballet. And you know, it's just precious. And there are private lessons going on there, much as there are here in private studios. So it's kind of fun. We suggest you go.
You should.
Yeah.
We've also, for the first time ever, brought our orchestra in-house. We have South Shore Conservatory Youth Orchestra has been around for about a little over 10 years now. And it traditionally rehearses in various high schools in their large music rooms because we didn't have enough space. But what we've done is we've broken them into sections. Of course, winds and brass are not inside at the moment, but everyone else is allowed inside, evenly spaced. And so we have our own orchestra on campus for the first time, and it's been wonderful. It's actually a really exciting moment for us.
And that's down in Duxbury.
Yes.
You're also doing some outreach, as I understand it, one of which was involving an after-school program with school-aged children in the Brockton area, is that correct?
That's actually a program that happens during the day. It is Imagine Arts, and that is a program that we started probably in about 2012, 2013. Where we would go into the Brockton Public Schools, into kindergarten classrooms, and we have a couple different ways of doing this. It's an arts and literacy based program, and it uses movement and music and song, specifically like lyrics, to work with children, many of whom don't have English as their first language, to educate them, to make reading fun, and to get the idea of what a story is and how that connects. One of the great things that's also, you know, you get a definite twinge of sadness, is we are able to give each student about 4 books a year. And for a lot of those children, that's the first book they've ever owned. It's a great thing to be able to do, and we have a lot of supporters and donors and passionate staff, both from the conservatory and in the Brockton Public School System, who are making this work. Obviously with COVID, as with everyone's teaching environment, some things changed. And what we were able to do was to have our Imagine Arts faculty and specialists prepare their materials, film themselves, which is so great about everyone, most everyone having a smartphone or a device. They would film themselves, and then the conservatory would post that online and make it available to the families who otherwise would be having that in-person experience.
There have probably been a couple of, shall we say, victims of COVID in the context of program initiatives. One that came to mind that I was so disappointed was the initiative involving music with brain research. That was a symposium that I recall back in March, was it originally scheduled for, that included as one of the keynote speakers, Glenn Campbell's daughter, is that right? Tell me a little bit more about that, and what's the chances of that being revisited sometime in the future?
I think we would hope very much to keep that alive. As Debbie said, you know, tell us when COVID will end. It's not something that I think we're in a position to do right now, just given the health climate. But we're really fortunate to be in an area with incredible medical personnel who can speak to music and the brain, talk about Alzheimer's in terms of Glenn Campbell's daughter, and then to experience some of these things firsthand. Right now, the official word is that it is postponed. And once we have a little more information, I think people will be getting an updated invitation from us.
And Eileen, that Mad Love Festival that took place on October 11th. Now, tell me about how that went on.
That was wonderful. We had the Hingham campus, as you do every year. You would drive up. We've got a great circular driveway. People were able to pick up their pre-ordered merchandise. They were able to pick up rock boxes. We had a rock box geared towards children, one towards students, one towards adults that included Mad Love Untold Hazy IPA. As you were about to exit the circle, the Mad Love Dave Jodka Scholarship for Future Rockers band was playing, so you still got a little bit of the feel for the festival, even though we couldn't have it the way we normally do. And then people were able to take home their rock boxes and reflect on the Mad Love mantra, which is work hard, be kind, have fun, Mad Love, and celebrate Mad Love in a way that was safe and meaningful to them.
Debbie, are there some other programs that we need to hear about that are also pivoting?
Well, this one is not pivoting per se, but I think you might be interested in it. And we've just begun launching totally online learning for adults. So if you go to our website, you'll find maybe half a dozen offerings. We literally started this a week or so ago. Maybe you're interested in Joni Mitchell's songbook. So there's an offering to take a look at her music with one of our teachers. Maybe you'd like to sing, you know, to yourself, I don't know, in the shower. You can take an online improve your voice kind of experience. So I think this is kind of fun. It's an experiment for us. They're not a big commitment. They're 4 weeks. You know, give it a try. Have some fun. We're all looking for something fun to do in the current environment. So we've got that going. And of course, this is still a place where you take lessons to learn how to perform, how to play an instrument, how to perform in an ensemble or an orchestra or a rock band. And we've got pretty rich offerings in there. Although it is, as Eileen said, it's some online, some in person. You need to find your little niche. But we've got lots of programming going on. So you get me going. I'm talk. We just had our very first memory cafe done online. So we've done memory cafes for several years that are basically for citizens suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's of some sort. Most of those individuals will have a caregiver or a close family member with them. And we invite them to come here and have music for an hour. We have a wonderful team of people who work like this, and it's a social event. Of course, if you went to a Music and the Brain symposium, you would learn that music's extremely important. It's something we maintain in our brain when we've lost a lot of other functions. So this has been a very strong program for years, but now you can't do it. We can't have seniors here on campus. So we just tried it online, and I actually haven't had a chance to talk to Eve Montague to hear how it went. It's that fresh, but we're trying that programming online too. So those are a few examples that come to mind.
As they often say, necessity is the mother of invention. And so indeed, if we have to practice safe distancing, then in using technology to perhaps reach some people that you would not ordinarily do.
Yes, I think that's right. Also, we have a little motto around here. It's excellence, respect, and initiative. And I think you see the initiative going on right now a lot of ways. This place is full of creative people, and they are creating new learning opportunities in the arts.
So you're covering, I think, a pretty wide gambit of age, if you will, from preschool all the way up now to adult learning, is that right?
We actually start before preschool. We have a Music Together program that is also right now online. And that is, you know, a child as young as 9 months old. So we start at 9 months, and we used to say 9 months to 104. I'm not sure if that's still the right cutoff age, but at one point that was where we were.
Debbie, is it safe to say that you're open for business here at the Conservatory?
We absolutely are open for business, and we're open in lots of different formats. You know, if you have an interest in music or dance, creative arts therapies, think of us, check us out on our webpage or call our front desk. I think you might find something that you'd like to try. Hope you will anyway.
I'm just happy to hear about the adult learning offering there. I may take you up on one of those.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then you can give us some feedback.
Yes, I can definitely give you some feedback. Thank you both. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
My pleasure.